Welcome to the Gospel Transformation Podcast with Stijn Versluis. We believe you will be transformed as you see Jesus through his word today. Are you ready? Let's listen to Stijn.
Welcome. I'm so happy and so excited you're listening again, or even for the first time, to this podcast. And today I'm going to talk about how God finishes his work in our lives. You know, when God starts something, he always finishes it. And he doesn't just finish it, but he finishes it well. And the Bible says, and some of you who have been walking with the Lord, you've probably heard this scripture before. It says, Philippians 1:6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." This is such an encouragement. And today we are going to discover together how this is going to happen also for you and for me. Let's pray before we get into the message of today. Father, I thank you that you are with us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are our teacher, and we open our hearts to you and what you want to reveal us and what you want to tell us today. We thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you and adore you for the wonderful salvation that you give us in Jesus. Amen. Well, today I want to just build on what I've been sharing. And as I said, I want to talk about how God finishes the work that he started in our lives. And we have been talking in the last few podcasts about how God declares us righteous in his eyes, and then how he starts to purify us, to make us holy, to sanctify us. And today we're going to look at how he is going to finish that work that he's doing in our lives, how he's going to finish the work of salvation, how he's going to completely set us free from everything that sin has brought into our lives. And that's what the Bible refers to as redemption, the redemption of our bodies. Wow. And this is an exciting topic. This is really an exciting topic. It's not something that's going to happen today. It could actually happen today as you're listening. I have to correct myself. It could happen today, but we don't know exactly when it will happen. It could happen today. It could happen in a week. It could happen years from now. We don't know, but all we know is that it will happen. It's hope that we have. Hope in the Bible is a confident expectation of the good that is to come. We can be sure, based on the scriptures, that this redemption of our body is going to take place. It may be now, it may be today, it may be in a few weeks, it may be in a few years, it may take even longer, but it is going to happen because God has promised it. And today we're going to discover this. Now, for those of you who've been listening to this podcast, we've been discussing 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And I think this gives us such a beautiful summary and a beautiful big picture of the salvation that God is doing in our lives through Christ. And it says that Christ has become for us four things: wisdom of God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And those four things, they have one thing in common. They all come through Christ. We cannot have true wisdom apart from Christ. We cannot understand how God works except when we understand what he did in Christ. Number two, we can't be declared righteous. We can't be made as we ought to be. We can't be acquitted. We can't be set free from guilt apart from Christ. Then, we also can't be made holy. We can't be sanctified and purified unless Christ does his work in us. And the fourth thing is no different. All these other things came through Christ. Now, redemption is also going to come through Christ. The redemption of our bodies is also going to come through Christ. And then, these things are progressive. You know, we start by receiving salvation that talks about that we receive what Jesus has done. Then we are, at that moment, we are made righteous. So Christ becomes our righteousness. After that, God starts to purify us We discovered last time that he does it through his word. That's a process that's taking all of our lives. That's called sanctification. So that's where we are in now. And then what's going to come is the redemption of our bodies. And when you take all those things together, it gives us a complete picture of salvation. So God does a perfect work. He doesn't leave us halfway. No, he says, I have started it by justifying you, by declaring you righteous in my eyes. Now I'm working on you at this moment and I will complete it also. So maybe you asked me the question, well, Stein, if I have been saved by faith in Jesus, by trusting in him, and if he has declared me right, if he has forgiven me all my sins, and if he has told me that he will never ever again judge me for my sins because he already did that in Jesus, if I'm right with him, and if he is also purifying me more and more and more, isn't that all I need? Because if I have those two things, don't I have everything? Well, actually you don't. Because there's one more thing that justification and sanctification do not do. There is still a part of the work that Jesus has done for us that's not expressed, that's not part of those two things. Because what does justification do? It takes away the guilt. It takes away us being guilty before God. It takes away the punishment for our sins and it makes us right before God. Then sanctification, it starts to deal with the root cause. It starts to deal with sin in our lives. It starts to purify us. It starts to change the way we think, change the way we speak, change the way we walk, change our lives in so many ways. And that's a blessing. But what it does not do, it does not completely take sin out of our bodies and out of our lives. You know, even if God is working in our lives and he's purifying us, it's a process. And we can still fall into sin. It's still possible. Now, I'm not saying we will, in that sense that, you know, you can't walk in freedom. No, the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus has set us free and that we can walk in freedom, so we don't have to sin. But the reality is that in our body, and then specifically our flesh, the part of us that was not changed when we were born again, you know, that's the part of us that still has the qualities and the characteristics of sin and the fall of man, those things are still in our body. Those things are still lingering there. And that's why you can still make a decision to sin. You can still decide to make a wrong choice, intentionally, unintentionally. You can still live in a way that's not as you ought to live. And also, what you will notice in your body is that there is still decay. There is a reason why we get gray hairs, why we get wrinkles, and why we get older. And our bodies, our physical bodies, they start to decay. And there is a limit to how long we live in this earthly body. And I'm not saying that we should just suffer, you know, sickness and disease, and that we should live in sin because we are slaves to it. No, please, I'm not saying that. I believe, based on the word of God, that we can live a life that's free from the bondage of sin. I believe that we don't have to be sick because Jesus heals us. He has taken our sicknesses away when he bled for us. The Bible says that by his wounds we are healed. So yes, we don't have to sin. We don't have to be sick. But still, there is this thing in our bodies that is fallen. It's not yet perfectly free from sin and its consequences. So yes, we live in a freedom. We live in health. But there is still limitations. And those limitations are because our body is not yet completely redeemed. Now, there's a few scriptures that help you to understand it. It says in Romans 7, verse 18, it says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not." That's what sometimes we experience. And again, we don't have to live there. We can live by the Spirit of God who gives us victory in every area of our lives. But still, it's a possibility. It's still somewhere in our human flesh. There is still sin and there is still corruption. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 10, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin. You know, sin has affected our world. It has affected everything. Everything in this world, if you leave it to itself, it will eventually fall apart. It's subject to decay. And the same is true for our bodies. We need to exercise our faith. We need to fill ourselves with the word. We need to live after the spirit if we want to see victory in our lives. And it says, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. So there's good news. You are righteous in the eyes of God. The Spirit of God is moving and working in you. He's giving you victory over sin. He's giving you victory over sickness. But there is still this thing that's lingering and that's sometimes coming up. And that's why sometimes, even though we walk with the Lord, we can still fall. We can still sin. We can still sometimes experience sickness or weakness. Or even if it's not those things, we experience limitations. We get tired. We are not able to do everything we want to do. And we get older. Now, Jesus doesn't want us to leave us there. He wants to set us completely free. He wants to make us completely free from everything that sin has ever affected in our lives. Because he loves us so much. And that's where redemption of our body comes in. Now, redemption, we have to define it. We have talked about it before in another podcast, and I said redemption means that a prisoner is released because the price is paid for them, a ransom. And that's very true. But redemption in the Bible also has another application of its meaning. It still talks about something being purchased, but it can also mean to take into possession what has already been paid for. Let me give you an example. I travel a lot. I'm an evangelist, and so even this year I'm traveling to different countries across Africa. And so I fly, usually. And one of the airlines I fly with is KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines. And what happens if I book a flight and I pay for it and I fly, what happens is they have this program where I accumulate air miles. So it's basically points that I gather, and the more I fly, the more points I get. Now, what can I do with those points? They are in my account, but I don't benefit from them. However, if I want to book a flight ticket, I can use some of those points, some of those air miles, and it can pay for either my whole ticket or a part of the ticket. And so that's when I take into possession, that's when I start to benefit from what I already have. It's called you redeem your miles. So I start to benefit from what I already have. The miles were already in my account, but I was not benefiting from them. But the moment I redeem them, I use them to buy a ticket, I start to enjoy, I start to possess the virtue, the value of these air miles. Now, that's a picture of us. We have an inheritance, and that inheritance includes many things, but one of the things it includes is the redemption of our body. And 1 Peter chapter 1 says that this inheritance is reserved for us in heaven, waiting to be revealed. So yes, it's already ours. You know, just as those air miles are mine, my name is on it, your inheritance is yours, it belongs to you. But your redemption of your body has not yet come. It has not yet had its effect in your life. You have not yet taken possession of it, even though it's yours. Now, you ask me, when is that going to happen, Stein? When am I going to redeem what I already have? When is that redemption going to take place? When am I going to benefit from the inheritance that I have redemption of my body? Well, that's going to happen when Jesus returns. That's why you can look forward to it so much. Because you know what's going to happen? When the redemption of your body takes place, man, that's going to be awesome. You know why? Everything that sin has brought into this world is going to be gone from your body. What does it mean? It means that your body will be forever young, it will be forever healthy, it will be forever strong. It means that you cannot sin anymore, because all sin, all the things of the flesh will be gone, and you will never grow old, you will never get tired, you will be forever young, forever strong, and you will be free from every limitation that sin and death and this world has put on you. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. And the Bible calls it the glorified body. So finally, all this is going to end. All that sin brought into this world, all that death, all that corruption, all that decay is going to leave. Romans 8 talks about this. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility." What is that? Decay, corruption. You know, when you leave something to itself in this world, whether it's a plant, whether it's an animal, as long as it doesn't get fed, it doesn't, you know, you don't put in effort, it's going to fall apart. It's going to decay. When you put an apple in your house, you leave it for a few months, it will rot away. That's this principle. Everything in this world, it eventually degrades. It eventually decays. So all of creation is subject to corruption, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, everything around us, groans and suffers with the pains of childbirth together until now. Creation even is affected by sin. Did you know that? And this is what I personally believe, is that this whole global warming thing and all these natural disasters, yes, they can tell you perhaps how it's happening and all that, but I think it's actually a result of sin. The earth wasn't created for sin. It wasn't created for hatred, for war, for terrorism, for all these bad things that sin has brought. And basically what it does, it starts to just react to it. The Bible talks about this, that there was this nation that is spewing out its inhabitants. It's like the earth is resisting. The earth is saying, "I can't deal with this. What you are giving to me, all this bloodshed, I can't deal with it." And so it starts to groan and suffer. The whole creation is affected by sin. You know, everything in this world is affected by it. It's corruption. And it's groaning, it's suffering. You can even see it around you. But we have hope. We have a confident expectation of good because Jesus is going to return. And then it says, and not only this, it's not just the creation, but also ourselves, we having the first fruits of the Spirit. That's what I talked about. The sanctification, healing, all those blessings in our lives are the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you have experienced some of it, you know it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see the Holy Spirit cleanse you. It's wonderful to see the Holy Spirit bring his fruit into your life. It's wonderful to see the Holy Spirit work miracles and wonders and amazing things through your life, bringing healing, deliverance, all these things. My friend, if you have seen those things and you say it's wonderful, just know it's just the first fruits. It's just a little bit. Much more is coming. All you can see that the Spirit is working today, which is wonderful, which is amazing, which is powerful. That's just a fraction of all that's going to come. Well, that should whet your appetite for Jesus to return. Having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. You know, we know, and I think we all have this, deep inside of you, you know that there is more. Deep inside of you, you know that you were not made to live in a body that's decaying. You were not made to live in a world that's affected by sin. No, you're created, you're purposed for glory, for immortality. There's a reason why everybody wants to, you know, go for treatment. Not everybody, maybe, but we all want to not grow older. And people spend millions to avoid getting old. It's because deep inside of us, we know we're not made for that. We are made to be young and strong forever. So, we also groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons. And then he tells you what it is, the redemption of our body. It's the moment when our body that was purchased by Jesus is going to fully experience the benefit and is going to be set free from all the consequences of sin and all the corruption. And then we will be completely, completely, completely saved and restored by Jesus. There will be no more, there will be zero effect of sin. Everything that sin, the fall of Adam and Eve, brought into this world will be cancelled and it will no longer be there. Wow. That encourages me so much. It encourages me because this is showing me that God loves us so much. God loves you so much that he does not want to just take your guilt and your sins away so you can come to him. He does not just want to give you purification and holiness. No, he wants to set you free from all. And I want to close this podcast episode with this scripture. And it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, he also will bring it to pass." We see, we've discovered, it says here, spirit, soul, and body. We are, as human beings, spirit, soul, and body. What happens when Christ becomes our righteousness? Our spirits are saved. What happens when Jesus is our holiness? He starts to purify us. He starts to purify our soul. So our soul becomes saved. And then, to conclude it all, he also sets our body free from all corruption of sin. And then he concludes by saying that God is faithful to do this. I just want to leave you with this encouragement. If God started his work in your life, if God has justified you, if God is working on your sanctification, you can be sure that he will also set your body free when Jesus returns. My friend, Jesus did a perfect work. He has saved you, and he will save you to the uttermost. He will finish what he started. All you need to do is to keep looking at Jesus and to trust him, to surrender to him, and to let him do his work in your life. And then you will receive salvation in full. Praise the Lord. Man, this encourages me, and I believe it encourages you as well. I just want to say this. If you say, well, I'm not experiencing this salvation because I have not put my trust in Jesus, then this is the moment to make that choice, to turn from sin, to turn to Jesus, to trust him, to thank him, and to believe in his blood that cleanses you and his resurrection. If that's you, then just pray these words out loud. Say, "Jesus, I believe your blood cleanses me of all sins. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I now belong to you. Amen." If you've prayed that prayer, you are now born again, and Jesus has started this work of salvation in your life. He has justified you, and he is now continuing to sanctify you, and he will also redeem you. Be encouraged by that. Keep listening to God's word. Go to a church where they talk about Jesus, and then you will see this work carried out in your life. Thank you so much for listening. I'm already looking forward to next time. and we thank God for His perfect salvation in all of our lives.
Thank you for listening to the Gospel Transformation Podcast. We believe your life will never be the same again. Would you like to know more about our ministry or partner with us? Please visit our website at www.gospel-transformation.org. Gospel Transformation, sharing the good news and bringing others along.